In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Come on now. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Hallelujah, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Come on. Sing Hosanna, sing. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings, we're gonna sing.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna.
Sing Hosanna to the King. Okay, people, listen. We have been talking about John Paul's prophecy that the further we get away from the Lord, the further we call wrong right and right wrong, then God takes his hand off of us. And that God gives up nations. He does give up nations. And you know what? The only call that the church needs to do is to call her people to repentance. To call her people to repentance that we have lived like everybody else. We are no different than anybody else. 55% of the people in Massachusetts are Catholics, and 55% of the women have abortions in Massachusetts. We are no different than anybody else. And you know what? We have lowered our standards. Catholics have lowered their standards, evangelicals have lowered their standards because they want to be accepted by the world. You know what the scripture says? Love of the world is to be at enmity with God. If you want to be at enmity with God, then you love the world, you see. I'm not talking about the earth. No, the earth is beautiful, even though today is May what? May 6th, and it feels like November 8th because we're into global warming. Yes, and it's raining, and it's pouring. It was 42 today. Isn't that wonderful? It was a warm day in the winter on May 6th, as David said. But anyway, that's another issue. The only thing the church can do is to call her people to repentance, that we have been just like everybody else. And as the scripture says in Psalm 95, 40 years I endured that generation. They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. And that's a very important thing. They do not know my ways. Isn't that interesting that the church does not know the ways of God? Why? Because we become a business, because we've taken on the structure of the world, because we do not live by faith, we live by sight. And I want to tell you, when you do that, you become impotent to the world. The church is called to be Lumen Gentium, the light of the nations. The church is called to be the light of the world. But when you run the diocese, like the world runs IBM, I want to tell you that things are pretty bad. I understand that our chancellor, he's a layman, gets like over $200,000 or $300,000 a year, the chancellor in Boston. Imagine $300,000 a year. Isn't that amazing? Or $375,000, some crazy number like that. $375,000. Now, I might be wrong with my numbers, and if I am, you correct me, and I will apologize. But no one's worth $375,000 working for a church, especially when the CCD coordinator, who's forming the children, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, ours is getting like $21,000 a year. You know, it's kind of tipsy topsy turvy, but you know, it's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. But, you know, you'll never have that chancellor out before the abortion mill. And you know what? He wouldn't be there on the day of crucifixion either. And you know what? Many of us wouldn't be there either. You want to know why? Because, you see, now how many of us go and risk ourselves to pray at an abortion mill? Not many. See, I just want to say, you know, we all have these highfalutin ideas. I would do this and I would do that and I would be there. I doubt it. If you can't do the little thing, how you gonna do the big thing? It just isn't real. We live in fantasy worlds. If you can't do the little thing, how you gonna do the big thing? When they come out after us, because we are believers, How many are going to leave the bus and deny Jesus? If you can't stand before an abortion mill for a couple of hours and pray and do something, how many people are going to be taken to be shot one day? Right. You know, it doesn't. Even I know it doesn't sound like it's like a big jump. It's like a big jump. But, you know, we just want to, we just want to be a little comfortable. Even we want to hear the truth, but we don't want to implement the truth. Because you know what? It costs something to implement the truth. It costs you time. Listen, we had a demonstration in front of 111 Harvard Street a couple of weeks ago. This Thursday will be 1 week. I said to Eleanor, I would be the only priest there. She disagreed with me. She said, there would be two or three. I was the only priest. And if you think I like going to those things, you're out of your mind. If you think I like going to, I'm sick of it. I've been doing this since 1990. I am so sick of this kind of stuff. But you know what? And I don't do it very often. It riles me up. It brings me into deep depression. It's terrible stuff. But you know what? Every once in a while, I'll show my face. And you know what? I'm going to tell you another thing. Most of the people who are there are people who hear me on radio and who come to Holy Rosary and espouse them. That's real. This is real. This is real. You're not going to see the chancellor there. Believe me. But he gets good money. God bless him. God bless him. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Nobody's worth that money. Nobody's worth that money working in the church. Nobody. I don't care if they're... Well, I won't even go into it. Okay, let's continue. What are some of the things coming? Because we've distanced ourselves from God, because we do not know his ways. What are some of the things coming? Remember, the perfect storm has to do with economics. It has to do with religion. Geophysical events. Has to do with politics. And what's the last one? War. Okay, so listen. What are some of the things coming as these things merge, as these things come? In time, water will be more expensive than oil. Well, you know what? I went and looked at the water just the other day in the store. I think it was DeMoulas, a Stop and Shop. It was $1 a gallon. Water, $1 a gallon. This is just cheap water. It wasn't like the spring water from Maine, Poland Springs. It's all the same. But, okay. Dollar for the gallon. Amazing. Dollar for the gallon. That's amazing. That's half of a gallon of gasoline right now. Well, I kind of disagreed with him when I thought of it. But you know, when I read this, I said, I better check out the price of water. See, we have a purifier. I don't know if it purifies anymore. It's reverse osmosis, it's called. It's true. It's reverse osmosis. And supposedly it's supposed to do good, but the next thing is, when did we last change the filter? That's the issue. In time, water will be more expensive than oil, and cities will evacuate thousands because there is not enough water to meet their needs. As Amos 4:7 says, I made it rain on one city, I withheld rain from another city. As I said to you before, what Elijah said to Ahab, the king, because he had taken in the Phoenician gods, it ain't going to rain no more, ain't going to rain no more until I say so. And there was a great drought in the northern kingdom of Israel. There was a great drought. Why? Because when you distance yourself from the God of Israel, when you distance yourself from the Lord Jesus Christ, the weather patterns respond. This is real. This is real. It's like when you sow evil, you reap evil. You know, that's the way it is. People don't believe that stuff. But I will tell you one thing. I'm going to plant some tomato plants this year, but there will only be 8 of them. I'm not going to be able to put up some sauce. Not with 8 plants, okay? Even I know that. What you sow is what you reap. If I want to put up sauce and I want to jar my tomatoes, I don't have the time. If I want to do that, you know what I do? I plant acres of tomatoes. That's it. What you sow is what you reap. But then you got to take care of them. So I don't expect to put up sauce, you know. I will buy them at the end of the season when they're seconds and thirds, and I'll get them for a basket for $8. And then I'll do my sauce. But that's what I will do. I don't know what you will do. That's what I will do.
Okay, then it says earthquakes will strike not only coastal areas, but devastate the Midwest as well. Israel will bomb Iran. That's very, very soon, I would say. And anti-Semitism will escalate as fuel costs soar. A dirty bomb will explode in a coastal city. There will be thunderstorms with huge hail, 24 inches of rain in 24 hours, 3 feet of snow in 6 hours, record-setting tornadoes and winds of more than 350 miles per hour, and tornadoes in unusual places. There will be an unexpected blight that will hit various hybrid seed crops and weaken the yield. In addition, drought and devastation from storms will dramatically cut into various harvests, and the nation's food storage will deplete. Well, first of all, our prophecies are imperfect. But I do want to say this. This guy's a prophet. I know he's a prophet. I told you when I walked into the room, he said, "Brother, I saw a golden megaphone on your throat, your mouth. And you're in a little room, and God's telling me you're reaching a lot of people in this little room." Now, I'm not saying everything he's saying is real. But I am saying this, that we should have enough food, not only for ourselves, but for other people. We should have food not only for ourselves, for other people. That if it happens in the next 5 years, I don't know when it's going to happen. These things are mounting up. You know, if it happens in the next 5 years, like what did we do with 9/11, you know? We couldn't deal with it. Look what happened to the stock market with 9/11. You see, the market's coming up again. And let me just say this, a word to the wise is sufficient. People that are in the market, as it continues to rise, when it rises to the right point, and what is the right point? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not a financial advisor. Get your money out. Because we are going to have a bigger drop in the future. I know that to be true. And I don't need John Paul to tell me that. I know that personally to be true. So as it comes up, you know, get your money back. You know, I had friends that were here from Iowa just recently in August, and they were here. And I said to the woman, I said, "You know, do you have money in the stock market?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Get it out." Her husband's a doctor. So she went home and said to her husband, "Father Trump said we should get our money out of the stock market. It's going to die." I don't even remember saying that. And he said, "Father Tom is a priest. He's not a financial advisor." She said, "Father Tom said, get your money out of the stock market." So he said, "Okay, we'll get half of it out." They got half of it out. After the market died, he said, "We really should have listened to Father Tom." Okay. So, again, I am not a financial advisor. Anything I invest in dies. Only Jesus, the only thing I invest in, doesn't die. But I will tell you this. As it goes up, please, when it reaches a point that you can live, take it out. Because it can go down. Now, again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'm not telling you this is what you have to do. I'm just saying this is what I'm warning you about. And I might be wrong, because I am not on one of these shows in the evening telling you it's a bear market or it's a lion's market or whatever market they have, bull market. I have no idea what market it is. I just know now it's going up right now, and it's a false going up. But that's okay. False is better than nothing. False is better than nothing for now. And when it goes up to a certain point, don't be stupid.
Right.
Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Take it out. Anyway, do what you want. And if you'd like to give me 10%, I'd be very happy. Oh, not for me, but for the radio ministry. If you want to give me 1%, I'd be very happy. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Earthquakes will strike not only coastal cities, but devastate the Midwest. Harvest and national food storage will deplete. I see in my own right that there will be people that will be banging on looting. I see looting. I see looting. I see looting. And you might say, how do you know that? First of all, let's look at Katrina. What happened with Katrina? There was terrible looting. Now, let me just tell you this. If we've been raised on bonbons, and then we don't have our bonbons, and we don't even have food to eat, what are you going to do? You're going to loot. You have to remember that God is just. We keep on killing children. We keep on doing these things. We keep on spitting in God's face. God gives us up. He makes the distance between us and Him bigger so that we will repent. The issue is repent. That's the issue. Not one go get ashes on your head on Ash Wednesday. That's not the issue. But repent. Every Friday we have the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock, and we're going to pray repentance prayers. Forgive us, God, for what we have done. In the church, in the nation, in our homes, forgive us, God. Because you know what? We need repentance parties today. Repentance parties. Calling out to God for mercy. We need His mercy. We don't want His justice. We don't want what we deserve. We want what He gained for us on the cross. He has had tremendous, tremendous patience with the United States of America. And yet, that patience has not brought too much to us because we have not repented. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of his evil ways. Make your ways and your doings good. Four things the church must do. One, the church must return to knowing God and his ways rather than just knowing about God. That's important. Knowing God and his ways. 40 years I endured that generation. There are people whose hearts go astray. They don't know my ways. Most people do not know the ways of God. They do not know the intervention of the Holy Spirit. They do not know that God is all-powerful, not only in theory, but in practice. They do not know that because they do not see faith alive. You know the ways of God when you have faith, when people are believing. I've often said, faith is not taught, it's caught. You've got to be around people who are offering their lives as a living sacrifice of praise. Faith is not taught. You cannot teach faith. You have to catch it. It's like the measles or the swine flu, which is another hoax. That's the Obama hoax, to get our eyes off of the economy and onto the pigs. Even the bishops have said, don't have people shaking hands at mass. The swine flu is coming. Where are they when they're killing children? Swine flu, give me a break. It's a hoax. Get your eyes off the economy. Get your eyes off of the thieves that he has in his cabinet. Put your eyes on the pig, the swine flu. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be careful. I'm not saying we shouldn't wash our hands. I'm not saying that. One of my friends said to me, I was on my way to the market basket in Chelsea. He said, you're going to the market basket? And I'm thinking, yeah. He said, in Chelsea? I said, yeah. Why are you going there? Because the prices are good. Aren't you afraid of the swine flu? You've got to be kidding. Like, you've got to be kidding. Because there's a lot of Mexicans there. Who cares? None of them had anything over their throats. Masks? This is stupid. But you see, you follow this craziness. Woo, swine flu. Now, I'm not saying you don't wash your hands. I'm not saying you don't do things for precautions. I'm not saying you don't get near people that are sick. Of course you do those things. But I'm not going to hype it up as if it's something real. it was so real, why don't we close our borders to Mexico? If it was so real. You know, who was it, Barnum and Bailey, that said a sucker is born every minute? Yeah. Sucker is born every minute. You know, you could tell people swine flu as well as the Brooklyn Bridge. If you want, make the story big enough. Again, I'm not saying you don't take precautions. I'm saying, you think, like I'm going in a plane in a few weeks. Think I'm going to worry about going to a plane? Think I'm going to wear a mask? I'm going to go on a plane. What if there's the swine flu? Well, I guess there's a swine flu. You know what? I'll get over it. By the grace of God. You know, by the vitamins I take. I'll get over it. I'm worried about it. What if someone coughs in your face? Just put the air conditioner on louder or higher, please. This is all nuts. This is nuts. What's the next hype coming down? The little green men from Mars are invading. Please. Oh, dear God. Four things the church must do: to know God, to experience God, that the Lord Jesus Christ become a reality in your life, not to know about God. You see, you can know the scriptures and not know God. You can receive the sacraments and not know God. You can be the Archbishop of Chinatown like I am and not know God. See, I'm the Archbishop of Chinatown. I want you to know that. My domain is Chinatown. Whenever I go by, I take my hat off to my people. You can have the greatest name in the world and still not know God. You could be the greatest evangelist in the world and not know God. You know when you know God? When you start feeling his pain for his people. And you're with his people and they're suffering. And you start weeping because you know God, that he'd weep over his people. Not that you're going to build a hangar for your life, for your plane. Give me a break. Okay, first thing, to know God and his ways. And his ways are miraculous in the Holy Spirit, rather than just knowing about God. We have replaced power with programs. That's right. Power with programs. Revelation with administration. That's right. The Father's heart with organizational skills. The Father's heart is for his children. Organizational skills. You know what? This is what the church is saying. We just might join this insurance company to care for the poor in Dorchester and Roxbury, but they will offer abortions. Organizational skills. What's the Father's heart? You don't play with that. You don't even think about that. That's a big temptation. Now, they haven't come out with the final decision. But you know what? What's the Father's heart? You see, the church is on the horns of a dilemma. If they don't go with this Centene, whatever it's called, insurance company, you know what? The Globe, or the Glob, or the Dying Globe, or whatever it's called now, will say the church doesn't care for the poor. Isn't that something? But see, who are the poor? Like, who are the poor? That's the issue. Yes, the people in Dorchester, they are the poor. Yes, they are the poor, but you know what? The children of the womb are the poor, too. They're the poorest of the poor. At least the people in Dorchester can run away from somebody who has a knife. The people in the womb, the children in the womb, when the knife comes, they've got no place to go. I'm for the poor on the earth. I'm for the poor on the earth. I'm constantly sending money to Haiti. You know why? They're washing sewer water. So we sent them $2,000 in Haiti for Easter so that they'd have a nice dinner, so that the kids would really eat till it came out of their ears. Yeah. I'm for all that stuff. And I don't send it to some organization. I send it to the priest who cares for the people so that 100% of the money goes to the kids. See, I'm not stupid. It's so clear. It's so clear, you know. Second,
The church must learn how to contend with the faith again. We are weak and we fall away so easily when crisis is not at hand. That's right. When things are good, who needs God? Crisis might lead us to God. It didn't last very long in 9/11. We have not been tested and we have lost our resolve. We understand little of Satan's plans. We do not know how to debate our faith without becoming angry, and thus we have so few strong, clear, godly voices in political arenas. That's right. We have Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, she's so sweet. She went to see the Holy Father, and she showed the Holy Father the children, her grandchildren. Isn't that wonderful? As she's for abortion to the last moment. It's very interesting. Interesting. Nancy Pelosi. Liar. Yeah, she said she knew nothing about waterboarding. Liar. Anyway, you know, it's all sick. The witness that convicts others and strongly testifies that God is still God and very, very real. You know, it really, you cannot substitute right living, just living, a charity, living a consecrated life, living a fully abandoned life unto the Lord. You cannot replace that with anything else. Not with office of bishop or office of cardinal or office of priest or office of monk. You cannot replace right living, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, really living a sanctified life, but you can't replace it with anything else. Now, none of us does it perfectly. We all messed up. Listen, Jimmy the Roofer needs you to call him, 617-846-1210. If it's raining on your head, 617-846-1210. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.